Here.
Arlene?
Here.
Susie?
Here.
Tiffany?
Here. We have a quorum. Others in attendance? Inco, why don't you start?
Recognitions and presentations. Do we have any, Mr. Pfeiffer?
I don't think so.
Okay. Moving on to public comments. We'll start in Sam Point. Are there any public comments for Sam Point? King Cove, any public comments?
Hi, this is Marty Gibson. I just finished from a college tour with my granddaughter, who was a student supervisor down to UAS. She spent a lot of time with the UAS inspector, and through multiple conversations, it seemed very clear to me that my granddaughter was not prepared because of college as a freshman. As a senior, as an undergrad senior, is only required two classes out of academic 15 months. The UAS advisor said it's a detriment to our students. They did say AAC in particular that our students are having such an easy senior year that they come in unprepared for their freshman year. I am concerned because of the seven periods a day that maybe we are not having students that are meeting their requirements before their junior year. I'm concerned that perhaps we are having rigorous if not requirements. I'm also concerned because I didn't have this information from the spring of my daughter's junior year. And if we had had a guidance counselor or more information earlier, we wouldn't be in the position that we're in right now. And we're just sprinting. We're going to figure it out, but I feel like we need to do a better job with our high school.
Thank you, Marty. I can let you know that the board has been discussing graduation requirements in 6 and 7 hour days, so that is an ongoing conversation of the board. I really appreciate your input.
Well, I appreciate this conversation, but I really feel like this ongoing conversation is going on for a reason, and I feel like we need to shake things up.
Thank you. Is there any further comments for King Cove? Nope. Okay. False pass. I see we have the camera on. Do we have anybody there for public comments? Anybody popping up, so it must just be on. Is there anybody on the phone for public comment?
I'm sorry, this is Marty News again. I would like an opportunity to say one thing. I would like this to be on an agenda for the next board meeting. The discussion about the seven periods, six periods, the upping our academic requirements.
I think we were waiting for some information. The administration was pulling together some data because it has been on the agenda a couple of times this year. I will follow up on where we are with the gathering that information, and hopefully we'll be bringing it back soon.
But maybe if it was on the agenda, then you can let us know where you are in the information gathering process.
We had asked the administration to bring back was what common practice was among the top districts in the state of Alaska and to make recommendations. Is anything else? Move on to student comments. I see we have students in King Cove. Do we have any student comments?
Yes.
Of the students, council members, and students in King Cove who believe that coaches to participate in play and travel for extra activities after 3D in a 7-period day. We would like to repeat that GPA requirements of 2.5 so that the student athletes would be encouraged to focus on academic first. Athletic second. Extracurricular activities are a privilege for our students, for our school, and our therapy is and our priority is student success, but not athletics. Our student athletes represent not only our school, but also the community of King Cove and Evolution East Rose School District.
We are hoping that this resolution is of the spirit of what students can become. Extracurricular activities with ODs and athletes who have a family grade. These students are at risk for a possible which will open heaven to their parents. They are not graduate. School activities that are important. One part of our new school, and we're not trying to deter students from participating in education.
Be it resolved that we should be school district that whereas the 2018-2019 King Cove School student handbook states, students must maintain a 2.0 cumulative grade level and have no failing grades on the peak eligibility report. Whereas a 2.0 consecutive GPA allows a student with 3 D's and 7 period stage to participate in play and travel in extracurricular activities.
Whereas a student with a D is of 60 to 69% shows that they are struggling academically and not specific class.
Whereas the student with a 2.0 GPA is at higher risk of receiving failing grades, and it is not uncommon for a student to return from an athletic trip. Whereas the national GPA average for competitive is 3.0 and represents all students, not just college-speaking students.
But having a cumulative GPA that is 2.5 or below excludes students from applying to and getting accepted to colleges.
Whereas traveling for extracurricular activities can cause the student athlete to miss the school year 46 out of 180 days. Whereas taking a spring and two basketball season, the longest trip was 17-minute school, which included 17 high school student athletes.
Whereas student athletes can and will adjust to the academic demands set by the athletic program, and the number of students that are ineligible will not change.
Whereas coaches and advice can require ineligible students athletes to attend tutorials after school or during practice time until their eligibility requirements.
Whereas student athletes who are deemed ineligible for the weekly eligibility report would be required to tutorials while other student athletes practice, play, and travel, so they will be eligible for the next weekly eligibility report.
I have to say I'm really impressed with the resolution that you guys wrote. The data points and everything, I think it was excellent. And I'm going to make sure that it's on our agenda for the next board meeting as an action item so that we can look at what other policies may need to be looked at for possible implementation. But I really appreciate the time and work that went into writing this. I love it. Are there any comments or questions for the King Cove Student Council representative? Are there any other?
I just want to say well done, you guys. That's very, very well written. And you are right. The higher our standards are for you, you will be able to meet them. So that's something you can look into. So thank you for coming to us with that fast.
Are there any more student comments? There's no more student comments. We're going to move on to student reports. So we have an OSOG Spring Conference report.
Thank you.
Do we have a close-up report for King Cove?
I'd like to thank everyone for all the help and support for making close-up a possibility for the class of 2020. Our educational trip didn't just start in D.C. It started in Anchorage when we toured UKA in the Native Tree Museum. In D.C., we spoke with Lisa Murkowski, Don Young, and Dan Sullivan about important issues we face in Alaska. One of the topics is the road to COVID. We also toured historical museums and famous U.S. monuments. Not only did we visit D.C., we also went to New York. This trip was a pack of valuable knowledge that will catch us for the rest of our lives, and we are excited for the classes to come up to experience close up home. Thank you.
Anything else for close-up? If not, we'll move on to senior trip.
Good job. Good job. All right, these are the only guys that came up with us to California. I'm not the advisor, but I'm a parent, and I got to go home, and I'm so thankful that the trip was approved, and someone stuck with their guns and made us go to California because it was the greatest, and we had a great time. And I'm going to let each one of them talk about what they enjoyed about it.
Thank you for letting us go. I had fun visiting all of the amusement parks and walking the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Thank you for letting me know. I'm excited that I got to see new things that I haven't seen before.
Let's go, and I thought it would be really cool to see the Warriors game and go to the Marvel Studios.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our seniors are stranded.
Stranded in Anchorage. Damn, my seniors are stuck. All right. Thank you for all the student reports. If there is no further student reports, we'll move on to NSBA annual conference report. Which is me. So, National School Board Association met on March 28th and held their pre-conference meeting, where we discussed, we got updates from our legislative, the legal advocacy, the council of school administrators, federal advocacy, public advocacy and communications. We heard from our Council of Urban Boards of Education, the National Hispanic Council of School Board Members, National Black Council of School Board Members, and the American Indian Alaska Native School Board Member Council. The pre-conference meeting was primarily talking about the conference that was coming up and some business items that had accumulated over the last couple of months. On the 29th of March, we had added a listening session for all the state associations to come and provide feedback to the National School Boards Association about the value that they see from their membership and what the National School Boards Association could be doing better to provide more value for their membership. I represented the Association of Alaska School Boards at the Delegate Assembly, where we passed a number of different resolutions, including one from proposed by the Pacific Region. The resolution proposed by Pacific Region was about climate change and the impact of school districts. We see a lot of that in the state of Alaska, whether there's erosion, warming of waters, changes in weather impacting travel. The resolution, by the time it got passed, was considerably changed to a natural disasters resolution and encouraging funds to help schools recover from natural disasters. And on the 30th, the general session speaker was Sir Ken Robinson. Google him. He's amazing. The luncheon was Kunkit and Filipino storyteller Gene Tagaban. He's been at the Association of Alaska School Boards before. He's an amazing storyteller. He really hit with the attendees there. He talked about how we need to be aware of ourselves and how sometimes the things that we're going through cause us to become sour. And when we become sour on the inside as people, it really impacts our lives, our work, the people that we interact with, and how we need to consciously unsour ourselves. He did that through a very entertaining story where he dressed up like a grandma and read the book Everybody Pooped to get rid of the sour. It loses something in translation when I say it, but again, Gene Tagaban was amazing. I helped present on school climate, a key to student success with Jenny Lepping with AASB. The Sunday of the National Conference, I spent most of the day Sunday attending the business meeting for the American Indian Alaska Native Council. I'm appreciative that this board is a member of that. There's a number of board members from Alaska that attend the conference that aren't members. So continuing to let people know if they serve American Indian Alaska Native students that this is an opportunity to help advocate on their behalf. And I was going back and forth during this conference learning more about Impact Aid. So I'm going to have questions about Impact Aid for our business manager when we get that far. And probably the most interesting thing that I brought back was the final day of general session. We heard from Michelle Gay. She's a mother who lost a child during the Sandy Hook shooting. And she talked about school safety. And there were just things that I hadn't thought about. That teachers, there were lives lost in Sandy Hook because they couldn't lock their doors, their classroom from the inside. They had just done a safety drill the week before. And when everything was calm, when they knew it was coming, they could take the key, go out in the door, the hallway, lock the door, pull it shut, it was fine. But nobody recognized that it was gunshots when it happened. There was, where the person came in the school, there wasn't somebody right there to easily identify who the person was, and it just made me think about entrance points to our schools. And I'm sorry, it was really emotional listening to her and communication. People thought they were doing really good things. They were going and they were getting their children. And they're like, oh, this is my neighbor's child. I'll take them too. There was no checkout system. And so people would come looking for their children later. And they're like, we can't find your child. And it wasn't always necessarily that the child was injured, but that somebody thought they were doing a good thing, and they had taken the child with them. So it kind of all accumulated, and then we had the trainer here, and I was asking questions. I was like, well, what about, you know, checking out of kids and reconciling who was in the school? And it was, I have a lot of notes about that and different communication things. jumping right into my spring legislative fly-in. The primary focus in Juneau was on the budget. Typically, we would go to a fly-in and talk about different legislative bills for education. This year was all about the budget and funding. I had a number of meetings. Well, actually, the day before we went to the Capitol for meetings, Donna Arduin came to talk to attendees at the fly-in. Interesting luncheon. She had an hour. She spoke for 10 minutes, said she wanted to hear from school board members, but she didn't want to answer questions. She wanted everything stated in the form of a suggestion. The school board members are pretty adaptable. They made a lot of suggestions, like we suggest you fund education. We suggest you look at impact aid, various things. On Monday morning, there was a House Education Committee meeting. I testified first there. Met with Senator Hoffman's staffer, met with Senator Birch. Really appreciated some of the information he provided. He said, you know, we could pay all the services. We could pay for all of the services for the state of Alaska and still pay a $500 dividend year after year after year after year. Or we could pay the $3,000 dividend that the governor wants, not pay for services, go bankrupt, and then everything would be done in a year or two. To me, it makes more sense that we would want to pay for services and have a renewable dividend that goes on in perpetuity. That's not the feeling throughout the Capitol. A lot of great meetings with different representatives. Probably the most productive one that I thought was with Representative Zolkolsky. And every meeting I go to, I say, hey, if there's something that you need from us, let us know so we can get you in for anything you need to help do your job. And Zolkolsky said, you know what I really need from school board members and from people in the public is that if you coalesce around new revenue for the state of Alaska, let us know. If AFN can coalesce around it, if school board members can coalesce around it, you need to know that that is a priority for people in the state of Alaska. So my initial thought was possible AFN resolutions and possibly proposing a resolution to the Delegate Assembly of AAFC. And her second suggestion was to look at opportunities to resolve health care costs and whether there's a possibility of a statewide pool. And I'm just not as an expert in that arena as other people, so I pass that on to people that know better than me, like Norm. But that's my report. Anybody have any questions or anything? Superintendent's report.
Okay, you have a report in your packet. I want to add a couple things. At the last meeting, and I did mention this at the bottom of my page, but Arlene had asked about student representatives on the board, and I've been speaking with Superintendent-elect Patrick Mayer almost every day, sometimes twice a day. And he has experience with this, and so his plan is to have the King Cove Student Council pick a representative and have the Sandpoint Student Council pick a representative. So we would have two student representatives, one from each big school. So I thought that was a good idea. He is going to try to come. He was going to try to make this board meeting this week. Some issues came up. He's going to come back, spend about a week, and then spend 2 days with us in King Cove for graduation. So he's trying to make a real effort to his feet wet and meet everybody. And just on a different note, kind of a little bit melancholy. I see now showing my King Cove friends over there, and I mean, I've been going to board meetings for 20 years. And I've got one or two left, and so I don't know what I think about that, but Tiffany said good and bad or something, I don't know. So anyway, so I very much appreciate being and I speak with Hillary as well, being a part of the King Cove and Sandpoint community, and you guys are just like family. I appreciate that.
Any comments or questions from Mr. Tucker? Hearing none. Any district correspondence that anyone like to pull for discussion? None. Actually, no, I did have one thing I wanted to pull. The false pass maintenance stuff, is that being passed on to Amos?
It is.
Next, we have the business manager's report. Nielsen, floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the school board, Superintendent Seifert. My report is in your packet, and the only thing I would add is after we reconciled the scholarships for FY19 and submitted the reimbursement request to the borough, we received a check from one of the schools for a student who had withdrawn after a few weeks. So we weren't able to use that $811, and it's been sent back to the borough. And that's all I have.
On page 45 of your report, did King Cove end up in the hole for the close-up?
That is close-up, and Madam President, they will be receiving, I think it was around $2,600 refund from close-up, and then my understanding is that they have some funds in their 2020 class that they'll be transferring so that they will be in debt.
Any further questions for Mr. Nielsen? I promised I was going to ask about impact aid. So my understanding is the state takes about 90% of impact aid.
President, it's not exactly 90%. There's a formula that they use, and there's a certain percentage of it that is restricted from them being able to take. And offhand, I can't give you the exact detail, but it's in. You report back the information of how the whole foundation formula works. Has a piece of impact aid in it, and I can pull that information.
Well,
and it varies every year, but it usually the district gets somewhere around $1 million to $1.2 million in impact aid. And then when they do the calculation, it usually is there's about $600,000 that the state essentially applies.
My understanding in talking to other people at the state is that funding that is deducted from impact aid is essentially used to offset what the state's contribution to the funding formula would otherwise be.
Yes, that's correct.
And something I wanted the board to start thinking about, just knowing that funding is becoming more of an issue with the state, is that and there's four states in the country, Alaska, New Mexico, or maybe it's three, and Oklahoma, might be three states, and they're facing this issue where the state takes a large portion of their impact aid, and I think Alaska is the largest of them. New Mexico is about 75%. I want us to start thinking about how we start trying to get those funds back, and I'm just kind of working my head around it, but if anybody has ideas, my initial thought was the Alaska Federation of Natives. Sounds like New Mexico has started this conversation with our Senators Murkowski and Sullivan, and they don't necessarily want to move forward unless AFN is supportive of it, but I think that's something that maybe if you and I could spend some time together, I mean, would the board be in favor of trying to get some of those funds back from the state in general? I don't want to go jumping out before the courts if the board's like, nah, just like, fine, let the state have those money. But is that something that we're interested in getting those funds back? Are people okay with me working with Dave on getting some information?
I would like to learn some more information about that.
Okay. I have more information. I can share it with the board. I'll send an email out on kind of what I'm thinking about, but that's the crux of the thought is that there's about 90% of the impact aid in the state of Alaska that's getting that the state holds on to offset their contribution to the funding formula so that they don't have to pay that portion to the school district. Anyway, I thought that's out there. Any more questions for Mr. Nielsen?
I did have one question. After reviewing a few, it looks like a lot of sites are over on what was allocated for the substitute or temporary teacher. Is that something that goes over quite a bit? Are we allocating enough for that?
It depends. I mean, what that is an issue, and there are some sites that are overspent. Have we had more money to that in the past?
We do if we do a revision of the budget.
So Dave will do a revision, but that's a budget is the best guess, Arlene, and I can't predict who's going to be gone, stuff like that. So we just had a teacher lose a family member that was gone for quite some time, so that just happens every year. We can't control that exactly. Is that an answer?
Okay, well, I understand, and I know that a lot of teachers help chaperone for sports trips and other school trips, and it's kind of over by quite a bit, like 200%, 141%, and I just wanted to know why the big gap, I guess.
A lot of teachers are gone. that'll be reconciled, and there's plenty of money to cover that. But, I mean, we've got teachers gone 2 weeks for road trips, and then add in sick, and then add in close-up. I mean, just copious amounts of travel and reasons the teachers are gone.
Okay.
Maybe we need to take a closer look at that for next year's budgeting.
And the road trip is much shorter this year as well.
Anything else?
No, that's everything for me. Thank you.
If that's it for comments and questions, I would entertain a motion to adopt the financial report.
I make a motion to adopt the financial report.
Second.
And moved by Arlene and seconded by Susie to adopt the financial report. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Arlene?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Susie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes.
Tiffany?
Yes. Motion carries 7-0. The financial report is adopted. Next item of business is department report, and we have the activities report. We have one in the packet from Mr. Barker. Passing on questions or?
We can.
Any comments or questions regarding the athletic director's report or activities report in the packet? Was he looking for feedback on the mixed six volleyball issue?
I think he was. He and I discussed that about a few weeks back.
Thoughts from the board on the what Paul reported in his report about the possibility of moving to mixed six?
He's saying is that he wouldn't, he doesn't think that it's a good idea, from understanding.
We have a very viable program in King Cove, and we have, should be a new volleyball teacher here next year, and they're really starting to work with the young kids, so I think Paul, I don't want to speak for him, but I think he would like to keep it the way it is. Part of this discussion was about wrestling. We spend a lot of money on about 8 wrestlers. It's not a very viable program at all. So I think that's how that conversation was started. But no, I don't think he's a fan of mixed-six volleyball.
With a state-level competitive volleyball team for the past 3 years,
right.
I don't see it
right.
being a positive move.
Right.
Well, we have state-level competitors in wrestling.
That's true. Well, I mean, not going to mixed-six would keep wrestling, wouldn't you?
No, we do. That's true.
Sorry.
Do we have prospects for wrestling coach?
It's always difficult.
I'm kind of hearing that just in the nebulous out here that kind of not looking towards moving towards mixed six. Is that the general feeling?
Seeing
the nod.
We tried that 1 year and it didn't turn out very well. We have enough kids for as is. So leave it in there.
Okay. My three for the day. I'm not sure if we're going to do it. Okay, so can you pass on that question?
Yes.
Any other comments regarding the activities report? This is out of my mind. I'm looking at the calendar. I thought we were looking at doing regionals 2 weeks before state.
What he said, and then they changed it.
That's what they said at the AD meeting, but most everybody was in favor of that, and apparently it was already done, but I don't know.
Volleyball is 2 weeks before the regionals in the state, but for some reason basketball, 4 days in between one regional thing.
Or like the only region that does that.
One or two is all, yeah, that's right. And every year we have that same issue where we're going to be able to get our kids out or not.
And our ADs have asked just about
every year
for them to change that.
Amy Eubank asked about it. And,
How much shorter is this road trip?
Shorter. 4 days out.
4 days?
The other one was 19, wasn't it? With the extra days they got stranded?
The road trip itself was 10 days, and then they got stranded. They were gone almost the whole month of February. And then, straight into the two trips, and then they traveled after that. I think the seniors have been gone since February, pretty much, I would say.
End of January.
From January till now. We heard from a lot of parents that the road trip was too long last year, or this year.
I thought I heard discussion of 7 days was it for next year.
I think that's what he had talked about initially, but once again, we've got huge scheduling issues. People have games, no games. It's rural basketball in Alaska is a difficult animal.
Well, their education needs to come
absolutely
first.
Absolutely.
I just personally feel that the trip's too long.
You may have been truncated.
It's only 8 days.
Oh, it's longer than that.
The Sandpoint kids would go out for a tournament, and then they'll be gone a week in end of January. And then the King Cole kids start there on the 3rd of February, and they're back on the 8th, 9th.
They're
all on the calendar to look at it. They're only 8 days long.
The tournament right before that, though, is what they travel to, and then they extend it onto the road trip because Sandpoint anyway, their next the road trip days start right after that tournament in Bristol Bay or Dillingham, so they have to go straight on from where Bristol Bay or Dillingham. Yeah, no, the.
So there's 10.
Okay, so it's 10.
We'll get back to the 10th. You have to get back on a Monday. I can't get back on a Sunday.
So it's 12 days. Yeah, 12 days.
Did they do any schools while they're on their trip? They're supposed to. The coaches are supposed to make sure they are keeping up with their assignments. Are they given assignments that they are supposed to be doing?
Give them packets.
They're supposed to have 5 allowed at each day for the school. Do we need feedback from Mr. Berger?
I just tried to call him and text him.
Okay. Not available at the moment.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Any direction or comments to pass on?
It looks like a week less, at least.
It's 9 weeks from the 22nd to the 2nd of February. It's 9 school days. I would say that's pretty significant compared to...
I think he knocked it down 4 days is what he ended up doing. It was 17. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Well, we'll have more conversation about that when he's...
But Paul's very proactive. If the board wants that to change shorter, he can certainly make that happen. I mean, he's very organized, and we can do that. So
okay.
That sooner than later, just because those schedules fill up, and I know people are already looking for games, so...
Our kids have become friends if they both go together. make it worthwhile for the whole trip to see as many things as they can.
I get that. But they're also missing a lot. We used to leave on a Friday, come back on a Saturday, fly down Alaska and Malin and
One of the big disadvantages is that we used to use charters a lot. And you could charter out on a day and come back on a Saturday or Sunday. Now our kids, because we're using the airlines, and it does save us a lot of money using the commercial airlines, but coming back on Mondays or leaving on a Tuesday because they could only accommodate so many kids, we're saving a couple $1,000s per team per trip on those, but we're also losing days. So there's, you know, two sides to that, too.
Something I forgot to mention during my AAS, the legislative flying meeting, is Clarence Daniel said that through his role at OSOC, he got the information that the Aspen provides a school district rate. So if school districts have kids going through Anchorage for school, like stuff like this, it's $75 a night. That's the Aspen. So, Aspen. Any more comments on the activities report? And then we'll move on to special ed. Dr. Seifert.
I don't have anything to add to the special ed portion of my report. I just wanted to comment on the curriculum committees met for the first time, ELA and social studies together, because there's a lot of overlap between who's interested. That several teachers want to serve on both committees, so they're going to kind of meet somewhat together. They did take some action, and they are starting to get some curriculum from different districts to look at. They're going to do some summer work, so I'm looking with Dave for money, because if they're going to do summer work, they've got to be paid to do it. And there's a nice core group of teachers from King Cove and Sandpoint that are willing to sit down this summer in a room together and make some of this start happening. So Dave and I will look at monies from this year, and most of the work is probably going to happen in FY20, so I don't know if it's something we can look at putting in for FY20 or if we can look at funds we could maybe, pay in advance for work they're going to do at end of July, beginning of August. But they're all really excited about it, so I think you as a board should be excited that you really have some teachers that want to move this forward and really collaborate together and also do some of that cultural piece. Tiffany, there's a couple of teachers that want to go back into the math and the science this summer and start plugging those holes in. Working on that. Hopefully you're going to see a lot happening over the summer and in the fall when things are going to be ready to go. Any questions on any of that?
Any comments or questions for Dr. Seifert? Thank you. Technology Director Kirk, are you still online?
Yes, I'm here.
Or yours.
Thank you. The only thing that I have to add that's not in the report is this afternoon I did turn in the paperwork for the E-rate for the selective review, and that should be received tonight. So the deadline was for tomorrow for that, but we should be all set. Other than that, everything else should be in my report.
Turn in the what?
The
E-rate. Oh, okay. Any comments or questions for Mr. Kohlbauer? Hearing none, thank you. We'll move on
thank
to
you.
Business. Go ahead. New business. A, the 2019-2020 calendars. You have calendars A and B and the various comments that were received in your packet. What are the wishes of the board? Do something.
To adopt the calendar.
A or B?
Or B.
I personally prefer B. My vote.
Okay. that a motion, Riot?
Sure, I'll make a motion to adopt calendar B.
There a second. I'll second it. And second, it's been moved by Rhea and seconded by Susie to adopt calendar B. Is there a discussion? I was getting up kind of late.
My hesitation, I feel, with calendar B is that school starts on August 26th, and that following week we already have a holiday.
Any further discussion? Why do you prefer B?
Why? I prefer B because I think summer doesn't start till later, and then by the time August rolls around, I prefer not to go back to school as soon. More of a parental preference. And it just, for me, it just, I just would rather start later in the year and end earlier. And then, I don't know, a lot of the comments that I read, well, it was pretty even, really, on the comments that people had. So it was really hard to vote or decide by looking at one and the other because they were pretty even. So that just left me with my own opinion after that. I didn't see anybody who said, you know, that they strongly disagree with one or the other.
Any other comments? I have a question for, I guess, probably you. How is attendance that last week of school? And I know it's questionable anyways, but the later we get into May.
But it goes back to the, whatever the last week of school is. Earlier or later, the last week before Christmas is
beforehand, no matter what week you make it. And I was thinking also in August, you know, there's a lot of families that do travel and go out to the fair or whatever before school starts, and when school starts is early, then they're still coming back later. So it could, you
They'll
know.
They'll do that either way.
Either way, so they'd be missing less days by starting later. Fishing isn't starting till what, June 11th this year?
No, it's June 6th.
Oh, June 6th. So, I mean, you still have, for the kids who are fishing, they're still getting out timely enough for the fishing season. And then, so.
Any more discussion on the motion to adopt calendar week? Let me do a roll call on this one.
Okay. Rant.
Yes.
Hillary.
Yes.
Arlene.
No.
Brenda.
Yes.
Tiffany. I mean, Susie.
Yes.
Jackie.
Yes.
Tiffany.
Yes.
really, that's what it was.
I mean, it is a toss-up. Okay, so motion carries, calendar B is adopted. The next item on the agenda is FY20 administrative contract. Mr. Seifert.
Yeah, you have a list of people there for district office, and did Pat get his contract back, by the way?
Yes, I have it signed
right
here.
Okay, because I knew he was in the process of it, so those are my recommendations for contracts.
What are the wishes of the board?
I make a motion to
Second. Then moved by Susie and seconded by Hillary to move forward with the names presented by Mr. Seifert. Packet. You need me to listen. Marlene Dishkin, Gary Lamar, Kate Gunderson, Hillary Seifert, James Kirk Feldbauer, Carolyn Lundgren, Dave Nielsen. Is there any further discussion? Roll call.
Jackie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Susie?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Tiffany?
Yes. Motion carries. The contracts are approved. Next item on the agenda is AAASB policy updates first reading. There's a number of policies listed in your packet from page. Page 152 through 159 lists the individual policies. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 that require us to make a decision on the proposed change to the policy. Hoping that people have reviewed the proposed update. I'm not sure how is the best way to do that, to move them all on the table for first reading and then go through the changes, or is there some that they've changed, pick option one or two? How do we do that?
Yeah, I put them on the floor for first,
okay,
first reading. Otherwise, you would have done it prior to.
So entertain a motion to put the proposed AASB policy updates on the table for first reading.
Make a motion to put the AASB policy updates for, on the floor for first reading.
On the table. Is there a second?
Second that.
Okay. It's been moved by Rayette and seconded by Arlene to put the AASB policy updates on the table for first reading. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? So the policy updates are on the table for first reading. Oh, I'm sorry. My Robert's rules is failing me right now. So how do we pick those ones that need decisions?
Well, if you give direction, would you know what your decisions are going to be?
Well, you want to just run through them?
That'd be best, so you guys can make a decision, because then when we bring them back for second reading and adoption, those changes can be put in.
Okay. So for 1312.2, actually this isn't a decision, but it says that if needed, that the materials would be available in languages that parents use and understand, and then just checking that we would have the ability to comply with that. That's not a choice or a decision that needs to be made, but being out there for the administration.
Is that for policy to be in the?
It's in policy. It's in GP 1312.
Right.
The last line would be, and if needed, it should be available in language which parents use and understand on the second paragraph. So just bringing that to the administration's attention. CP 1312.1, there on page 180, there's option one, which reads, this policy shall not apply when a public complaint involves accusations of child abuse. When a school employee is accused of child abuse, it shall be investigated by proper authorities in accordance with child abuse laws. Or option two,
when public complaints involve accusations of child abuse, the provisions of this policy and regulation shall be implemented only after the child abuse reporting for requirements specified in law have been fulfilled. I just don't know. Is there any sort of recommendations, Mr. Seifert?
Is this proper authority saying, I mean, it's a major reporter, so they have to report it. And by proper authority, he's saying, like.
Well, that's what they're proposing two options, and we need to choose one.
I think it should be.
Which reads, when public complaints involve accusations of child abuse, the provisions of this policy and regulation shall be implemented only after the child abuse reporting requirements specified in law have been fulfilled. Is there any discussion from the board? It's been suggested that we move forward with option two in BP 1312.1. Any further discussion? Any objections to utilizing option two? Any. The next one I have on my list is 1330. There's an optional portion of this policy. The optional portion reads, the school board recognizes that when schools encourage and welcome community elders during and after the school day, this supports continued learning opportunities between youth and older generations. Is this something we want to include?
What's the number of it?
1330. Page 192. I think we talk about wanting more community involvement whenever possible. I think we would, my personal thought is that we would like to include it, but are there any other thoughts? Is there any objection?
I think it should be included.
Included. Okay. The next one I had marked wasn't necessarily an option, but in one of the ARs, it refers to CSC, and I just didn't know what that was. It says, it is recommended that the CSC develop further rules and regulations that apply to a specific building site.
And him saying we don't need
you anymore. And I kind of read above it to see if I could figure out what CSC stood for. But that was a question I had.
I don't know.
And then in number four, it says that, you know, unless requested changes are approved by the site administrator or CSC. CSC? So that's a question. I'm going to throw that to you for research, Dave. What is the CSC? That was an administrative regulation. I didn't. 1330C. Next, I have 3541.1. A. 3541.1A, page 203. Option one is private automobiles shall not be used to transport students on any school-related trips. Option two reads, the superintendent or designee may authorize the transportation of students by private automobile for approved field trips and activities,
when the vehicle is driven by an adult registered with the district for such purposes. Drivers shall be issued safety instructions and emergency information. All student passengers shall provide permission slips signed by their parents or guardians. Drivers shall be required to possess valid driver's license and insurance. And my thought on that was boats. We utilize boats, especially for King Cove. I would think that we would want to, I mean, it's not a auto vehicle. So, are we okay with option two? Yeah. Yeah. Seeing heads nodding? Okay.
Does that mean that the person driving the car has to have their own insurance of at least $100,000 per occurrence? Or is that the district will cover that insurance?
It says that the note is that AASB strongly recommends districts require at least $100,000 minimum liability. If desired, however, the district may change the above specification to read liability insurance in amounts required by law. So if we're picking option two, I suppose that's your choice of option two options. $100,000 liability or insurance as required by law. And it's strongly recommended that we keep that $100,000 per occurrence.
Who would do the safety instructions for the drivers?
We tell them they got to do it. We're policy people.
Well, here it's that if you turn the page, the local drivers and passengers shall be informed that the registered owner and her insurance company are responsible for any accidents which may occur. District personnel who frequently transport students in the private vehicles are urged to carry liability insurance of $300,000 or more per occurrence.
Urge. I mean, that's not mandated. That's
okay.
We encourage you to do this, but it's not a mandate.
And I've learned following that it says transportation by by other private means includes boat, ATV, off-road, and snow machine.
Private means for approved
field trips.
They can.
I mean, the only thing that we ever approve are our boats in King Cove.
Right.
And that it happens maybe twice a year.
How does that work on the road trips when rental cars are used?
We cover that.
We cover the insurance on that.
Yes. Okay, so the next one I had marked isn't necessarily an option, but on policy 4020A, page 216, it says vape or vaping device or electronic cigarette, and I think the term being used now is ENDS, electronic nicotine delivery system, in place of electronic cigarette, vape, or vaping device.
Need to update that to...
What's the new wording for it?
ENDS, electronic nicotine delivery system. I didn't have an option marked, but it talks about when the school board will, or that the school board will review annual disciplinary action data. So when it's adopted, we'll need to add that to the
when would you like that I submit that data in May or before June? So would you like that in the fall to be on the list?
Probably.
It was the same thing. Just make sure it gets on the board calendar. 47. A lot of policies. Mm-hmm. So, like, all these policies, when we're done on the final reading and they're adopted, they automatically put it in our policy electronically, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I send it out to them that they're adopted on what date, and then they upload it to her.
Okay.
So 5030C, 5131B, and 5147 were all things that just needed to make sure we made it to the board calendar. And then 6115 reads the blank Board of Education, so we need to update that to read the Aleutian Z's Borough School District Board of Education. Where it's both the places where it says blank, and then it talks about how we can add recognition days. Like I know we have an Akatan Day. I don't know if there's any other special recognition days in the district that are observed at all. I don't know if Kinko's has any special recognition days. Can't think of any for Sandpoint offhand, and I'm not sure if Akatan Day is not a summer day. But maybe if we can reach out to the communities and see if there's anything that should be in that list for 5115. That's the last note I had. Any other notes from anybody else? If not, we're going to move on to the next item of business. The 2019-2020 scholarship.
Do
you want to report on that?
As you have in your packet, we received 21 renewal applicants and 5 new applicants for this upcoming school year. We received $35,000 from Ocean View Borough for the scholarship annually. And the rest is up to you.
Split that evenly, it would be $1,340. Change. What are the wishes of the sports?
I make a motion to divide the scholarship money evenly between the 26 applicants for our scholarship.
Second. And moved by Hillary and seconded by Rhett to divide the $35,000 up evenly between the 26 applicants for the scholarship. 2019-2020. Is there any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Arlene?
Yes.
Susie?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes.
Tiffany?
Yes. Motion carries. The scholarships are approved. You'll let the 26, or what, do we announce them correct? Well,
you'll announce them.
It'll be announced. Next item of business is the lunch survey results. You have results in your packet from King Cove, and Sandpoint results were emailed out today. when we first started having this conversation, it was about policy and nutritious foods. Whether the district needed anything from the board to help implement our enforce the policy, and then getting some feedback from our students on the lunch program itself. They seem pretty similar in the types of foods that they like. But further feedback from the board.
I think cheeseburgers, nachos, tacos, pizza, and chicken burgers are great. But I still believe we need to find a well-balanced menu for our schools so that we do have some form of some form of control over what the kids are being fed. And I've seen a lot of people said that they would appreciate some salad on occasion, which is nice. I know a lot of kids that do eat salad, so the salad bar is always a good way to get some extra vegetables into kids. I don't know if I would go as far as having the same menu for both sites, but I would say that at least having menus pre-approved at a time before orders are made, just so that we can see that there is and have the five main components in the meal, you know, bread, vegetables, fruit, grain.
So are you opposed to the universal menu?
No, I'm not opposed to it. But I think what our cooks here, I think the two sites could be different in what they have available to them food-wise, and that's where one menu doesn't always work for every single site. That's just my personal experience with dealing with menus is when our Anchorage person is making our menus and then we have to cook and they're not used to working with what we have that we can get. What's at the grocery store.
Or what's not because we're in the break mode every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, and so King Cole and us, we might have different, different things available. And so if they have the opportunity to make a monthly menu and then have it at least pre-approved and be able to make changes as needed, then we can see what's being served, what's being fed. They'll find out what their kids do like, what they don't like, instead of having, this is what you're going to make, do a little trial and error with it would be my suggestion for the first half of the year. And then once they know what the kids are eating and what they're not eating, then make adjustments. I don't know. That's how I feel about our menus. I just want to see that they're a little more balanced, that they're not having, all starch in one meal, that
grilled cheese and chips.
Grilled cheese and chips, macaroni salad and spaghetti, that kind of, those kind of blends. I just like to see more of a balanced meal. I am opposed to chocolate milk, though. I think white milk, you can serve kids white milk. They're either going to drink it or they're not. I'm opposed to chocolate milk. That's my own personal preference. No, I do. And my kid drinks it, but he also drinks white milk. I think if you give the kids the option, they're going to choose the milk filled with sugar. If the option is milk or water, they're going to choose milk or water, whether it's white or brown.
This is an informational item. I think I got a lot of information about it, just on how the kids are feeling about their food, and a little disappointment about. But I look at what are they considered great and good, and I kind of figure those are our top two categories. And there are some things where we're looking at 20% positive, and everything else is either neutral or negative. This in your hands now to work.
Well, I actually had a long discussion with Patrick about this as well.
Okay.
It's come up several times. I would like to see a universal menu to expedite things so everything can be ordered from this location and everybody gets it with an approved menu. Is that board approval? I guess it should be at this point.
No, I don't know.
Well,
I was thinking like principal approval.
Well, I think
or on that level.
I think it's been too loosey-goosey, and that's part of our problem. So I think if we need a little more oversight from maybe the superintendent then. But I mean, I don't know much about menus, but I can probably figure one out.
What's the policy thing?
Well, we did the when did we stop doing the federal lunch program, Dave? 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Okay. Now those were perfectly balanced menus,
okay.
with the vegetable and everything, right?
It's all in the garden.
Right.
That's when you had to put it on the plate, though.
Had it on
so
plate.
If somebody doesn't like green beans, you don't take
right.
them now with our lunch program.
Now we can have the option.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's helpful, though, that whether they have the option or not. You can have a balanced
have a balanced offering.
Balanced meals without being as stringent as the CACFP, because CACFP is very stringent. Because now you're looking at all whole grains, all low sodium, you know. So you, but you can provide, you know, maybe whole wheat bread instead of white bread, where kids are going to eat the whole wheat bread too. I mean, if they're, if it's a sandwich or whatever. So there's a better balance by doing your own rather than using the food program. I see the value in that, but I still think there has to be some guidelines that our cooks are going by.
I'll chat with Patrick next week when he comes over.
And can we get some just feedback to the board, whether it's from you or from Patrick, on what the how this information is changing things moving forward? I think the board would appreciate knowing we didn't just get the information and it went nowhere. Like, how is it being used? Patrick's going to improve things, or the principals, whatever.
I mean, I think it needs to come from the superintendent office if it's going to get done and have to deal with kind of thing.
Well, the principals approve the orders. They sign off on the...
Right.
Can I like maybe the idea? I mean, at this point, I think the food in both sites is complete autonomy on the side of the cook. General Gary and I are not approving the menu. We're obviously signing off on food orders, but maybe having some pre-arranged the next couple months as the next order here are going to be dropped in my menus. The principals do make complaints about lunch sometimes, you know what I mean? And so I would like to, as a principal, feel like I had a little more, I approved, this is going to be the menu, and this is what happened, and, you know. So I think it could be something where, and then that gets people into this first quarter menu.
But
it could have some autonomy to it, but not complete.
We have a new superintendent coming in, and we have a new principal coming in. So, I mean, there are new people that's taken to the equation. So if we can just get some feedback at some point, just whether Rayet says she has menus that she can help share.
The feedback that I got was, and I got it from a lot of moms, and they'd like some homemade food and not something that's just taken out of a freezer and eat up on a hot tray.
I mean, mine's more is how is this changing our processes moving forward? Like, is there something that we need to do policy-wise? We just want to know that. This is our concern. You see what the kids think. You've heard what the board thinks. How is this going to improve our program moving forward?
Well, I don't think it needs to be board policy. I think the superintendent needs to say, we're going to sit down with the principals, make a decent menu, but the kids maybe look over it as well, with some moms, I don't know, dads. I don't want to sound like a cop-out, but I've been dealing with student lunches for 25 years. You're never going to make everybody happy every day, period. Never going to happen. That's a fact. In a perfect world, I don't know what it would be. I guess it would have four or five different options, but
yeah.
We can't do that. And we give, let's not forget, and every kid in this district gets free lunch. Well, every kid in the two big schools. That's unheard of. I mean, in Lower 48, it doesn't happen. And they keep the free reduced lunch threshold changes all the time. So when people used to qualify for that, they don't always now. So that's a pretty nice perk. But it certainly is not perfect.
Any other comments for Mr. Seifert?
I think after reviewing all the data that was submitted, something that stood out to me was out of 8 time responses, 63% said they ate 0 times in a week. That's 0. I mean, they brought a lunch every day where they skipped lunch.
Thank you. Picky though. Has nothing to do with the cook. School has everything to do with what he doesn't want to eat.
I will get with Patrick when he comes on Tuesday, and I will send a board report and an email after we chat.
Okay. Sounds good. Moving forward. AR 4112.5, first reading. This is a follow-up to our conversation conversation at the last meeting regarding chaperones. This is an administrative regulation, so I'm not sure we even approve administrative regulations.
We have them listed under the EPs, too.
Yeah, they're listed under four policies, but does this fit the needs and desires of the board and the concerns from the last meeting?
Two meetings.
How long does the background check take?
It depends on how complicated the person moved, work history, that kind of thing. If the young person who's lived in the same place, then a day or less.
Did you hear that answer? It was a little
Yeah, hard. I heard it.
Okay.
Knowing that there's times when you get called 3 days before a trip because they don't have a chaperone, can you chaperone a trip? And the kids have been planned for how long? Because the last chaperone, they'll go, you need to get do a background check.
There is the clause the superintendent or designee can waive this requirement to allow someone to work until the investigation is complete. There is a clause in there that covers that.
And another question I had is, aren't people just walking the door and saying, go on a trip with you? They're asked to go on a trip, and they volunteer their time to go on a trip. They don't get paid to come and babysit all kids for 9 days. I don't think they're going to do it because, you know, for any reasons why you can be free. I mean, I get the concern, but I think, the principal or the coach doesn't even have to say it. Who's going to agree with it on their
I don't think it's a bad idea. I understand that we have volunteers, and I think most people that are traveling with their kids, I would hope that most people would pass them just fine. I don't think it's a bad idea to have in place.
And then the district will pay for the background checks for volunteers.
Well, we pay chaperone pay, though, Jackie, too, when they go on those trips. Mm-hmm. They put in for it.
I've never received a chaperone pay for any volunteer trip in my entire how many years of chaperoning.
Who did I sign chaperone pay for?
Teachers get only a teacher. Teachers get chaperone pay.
Teachers?
They go
not volunteers.
Yes.
Oh, that's something to be changed.
No,
I'm
volunteers.
Okay, teachers, my mistake. That should be changed.
We're
paying a teacher.
Volunteers are missing out on their own job.
That's correct.
To these kids, and they're not getting paid for compensated.
So teachers are getting their daily wage and chaperone pay, but we're asking
teachers
local.
Teachers are in their negotiated agreement.
Okay, but even so, I mean, why are we treating local people volunteering their time not as well? I don't think that's okay.
Well, that's a whole other...
I understand, but I mean...
As far as volunteers, though, we already have a policy that says that volunteers are subject to background checks. I mean, that's already in policy. This is just saying that they can't travel. There's already a policy saying that volunteers have to pass a background check. And that they can't travel until that background check is done, subject to the superintendent's leeway to make exceptions if necessary.
Do they ever have a list where you can then go and start background checks? List the volunteers?
We have a hard time finding anybody. I mean, we had to send an elementary teacher in King Cove who obviously had been background checked. I mean,
Well, I think it's worth the district's dollar to pay for the volunteer's background check. I mean, what is it?
Absolutely.
$20, $25?
Absolutely.
I mean, that should not even
But the district is.
Well, that's it's already saying we're going to do them. We're just going to add into it.
Volunteers get
it. So since it's an action item, I would entertain a motion to move it for first reading.
I make a motion to move AR 411 2.5. Do I need to do all of these? 421 2.5 4312.
What's that? The whole, I guess.
On the table for first reading.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Rhea and seconded by Hillary to move on the table. AR 411 2.5, all personnel revisions for first reading. Is there any further discussion?
Brenda?
No, yeah.
Jackie?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Tiffany?
Motion carries on the table for first reading. Back at the next meeting for second reading and adoption. Next item on the agenda is personnel resignations. We have one resignation in the packet from Mark Ingram. What is the wishes of the board?
I'll make a motion to accept Mark Ingram's resignation.
I'll second.
Was that you, Arlene? Okay. When I see your face, I can tell it's you, but if you're both heads down, I'm not sure. So, moved by Hillary, seconded by Arlene to accept the resignation for Mark Ingram. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, motion carries. The resignation is accepted. Item on the agenda is new hires. In your packet, we have new hires for King Cove, Marla Crawford, and Sandpoint, Caitlin Borm. What are the wishes of the board?
Make a motion to accept the new hires.
Okay. And moved by Hillary and seconded by Susie to accept the new hires. Is there any further discussion? We'll call on this one.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rant?
Yes.
Susie?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Tiffany?
Yes. Motion carries. New hires are approved. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Sound point, any public comment? Any public comments? And then we'll move on to board comments. Jackie or Arlene, either one of you want to have board comments?
Yep. This is Jackie. Just one comment that I think to do a better job providing electives for our students if we're going to continue a 7-period day, because it is just very we use PAs for 3 classes out of days. And I just, if that's all we're doing, I think we're doing them a disservice. And if that's all we can offer them, then at least our TAs should have like a schedule in which where people are, teachers can grade them, because some teachers are going to be different than other teachers. And they're just sitting there for 3 hours out of the day in some classes. And some classes they're probably working.
I thought they were graded when they were TAs.
They do grade, but there's no standards on what they need to grade them on. Well, do
is really not discussed or there's no guidance behind.
Okay. Anything else? Arlene?
Yes, thank you. After getting our students today, as well as some other comments, we'd like to say that we should really examine as a board the sixth period day again.
Brenda, any board comment?
No, good meeting. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Apologize for all the coughing in the background. I'll try to breathe better next time. Agenda items for the next meeting. So far, I have the GPA resolution and potential policy impacts, policy update second reading, AR 4112.5 second reading, possible first reading of the budget, the standpoint student report, and let's bring back that 7 period graduation discussion back to life.
Thank you.
Anything else for our next meeting?
Do we want Jenny Leflin to present the results of our school climate survey in a workshop? And
sure. See when if we can get it. Are they
okay.
ready?
Well, see when we have, yeah, we have the results are out.
Okay. Okay. Date, time, location, teleconference. Any suggestions, Jade?
What the board schedule looks like for travel. Is it something you want after school with all the events?
Are we okay meeting after school? How about if anybody has any travel or any dates that are not available, please email them to Jade. I will work with Jade to set a date and time, and we will get that information out to the board. Hopefully we can have Patrick available at the next one.
He would like to be here.
Yep. That works for everybody. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Anybody want to second? Any discussion? Any objectives? Adjourn at 8:52.